And now your host, self-made millionaire and national award-winning investor of the year, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Our telephone number here, if you'd like to get in with your questions about real estate investing or about finances of any type or just about life, is 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV, if you prefer to hear it that way. Today, we're going to discuss what is the number one creator of failure in the country today. And, you know, I sit here every day, and I've been doing this for many, many years now, 25 years. And I sit here every day and I speak to you on the radio and I wonder, what is it going to take to get someone to take the action that will change their lives? I mean, you got to think about this just for a second, because it's really interesting. I'm telling you that you're making nothing in your investments, very little returns on your investments. Most of you know that. You realize it. Some of you make a little bit, and you've convinced yourself that a little bit is okay, because what gets in the way of a great life is an okay life. And yet, you know, we still can't get that point across to you. For example, you know, right now, the average real estate deal pays somewhere between 10 to 20% on a cash flow basis. And that's an annualized rate of return. Whereas most bonds and CDs are earning less than 1%. In fact, I went in and pulled out a CD yesterday, or not a CD, it was a CD, I'm sorry. And they asked me why I was taking it out. I said I had other things to do with it that makes a lot more money. And they said, well, what? I mean, you know, how can you make more than 0.5%? And I told them, well, I make between 10 and 20% on everything I do. I don't make this. The only reason this money was sitting in your CD was because when I wanted to get a loan on a property that I made $1.3 million in a year in, you wanted me to have a CD in your bank. So you basically blackmailed me into putting $250,000 of my money in your bank so that you could lend me money for me to go make a lot of money with. So I was willing to lose that money on $250,000 so I could go make $1.3 million in another transaction that you let me the money for. So, you know, as we go down the road and we talk about these massive capital gains, like $1 million capital gains and the deal like that, and you see these high cash-on-cash returns paid in dividends out of our deals, why aren't you doing this stuff? That's the real question. But it's always a question up until I start getting emails in. Because people will tell you, right in the email, say, Del, I intellectually understand what you're saying. I get it. I realize that I should be doing it. I don't really know where to start. But most of all, more than anything else, I'm just afraid. And some of them rattle off a list of things they're afraid of. And some of them just stop right there. Quite honestly, I'm just afraid. That's it. They're frozen in place by fear. Now, fear is the number one killer of all future success. Because if you're afraid, you won't take any action. If you don't take any action, you don't get any results. So how do you overcome fear? Well, I think you have to understand what fear really is and how it has been placed in your head before you can take action against it. You need to understand. And I like this way of explaining it, that it's an acronym. An acronym, F-E-A-R, fear is false evidence appearing real. Again, false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. So where does this false evidence come from? You know, where does fear start? There's got to be some place that fear starts. There's got to be some place that it comes from. And I actually believe that fear has its foundations in more than one location. Fear is something that your body needs to be skeptical, to be fearful. It's a natural human instinct that you need to protect you from fight or flight syndromes back when we were out in the real world. You know, when you saw a giant animal, you need to be afraid. That was important, and it would hop you up and get you ready to either fight or flight. But in this day and age, to fear losing money or to fear not having status, to fear whatever it is, these fears are so unfounded that they are basically leftovers from a Stone Age way of doing business in the world. Yes, in the Stone Age, we needed fear. But in this day and age of logic and intelligence and communication and all the different ways to get information, there really is no need for fear. You really just need to go do something. What do? The number one way to kill fear is to be able to remove it with better information. If you've got false evidence appearing real, it becomes necessary for you to have the correct evidence to cover it up. I think Zig Ziglar had a cute little saying that he used to use all the time. He would say that your mind can be like a garbage dump, and people have dumped garbage into your brain for your entire life. And that, he says, creates something called stinking thinking. Now, how do you get rid of stinking thinking? He says, well, it's the same way an animal gets rid of its feces. It just backs up and covers it up with dirt. It's the same kind of deal. You need to dump truckloads of new information onto your brain every day to cover up all this stinking thinking that you've accumulated throughout your life. You then have fresh soil that you can plant in. You can plant a life that you would really love to live with the greatest possible quality and volume of whatever it is you want in your life. Do you want religion in your life? Do you want your family in your life? Do you want, you know, toys and doodads? You know, what is it you want? A nice home? Lots of vacations? Do you ever just think, what do I really want? Have you ever just sat back and said, what do I really want? You know, I sit there sometimes and I do that. I start thinking about it. And it's the craziest thing in the world once you become rich, because whatever you want, you can have. And so you have to stress to figure out, what is it I would want that I don't have? Now, that's a unique challenge. But for you, the challenge is exactly opposite. The question is not what do I want? It's what will I not having in my life? Because why? Because I'm afraid to go out and make the changes necessary to live the quality of life that I would really dream to live. 281-558-5738. We'll be right back with the Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Did you know that right now is the perfect time to be investing in real estate? 1. Prices are going up rapidly. 2. We have historically low interest rates that are giving us higher cash flow than ever before. 3. We have more people renting now than ever before. And 4. We have rents going up across the country at historically high rates. These 4 reasons combine to make now one of the best times we are going to see in our lifetime to buy real estate. Now is the time for you to take action. To learn how, attend one of our free introductory workshops on real estate investing. Call 866-945-6565 or go online to lifestylesunlimited.com and register for the next workshop in your area. That's 866-945-6565 or lifestylesunlimited.com. That's lifestylesunlimited.com.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and our number here is 281-558-5738. Your calls are always appreciated. It's way more interesting to talk to you about what you're into and where you're stuck at than it is to just pontificate constantly about why it is no one does anything. But if you give me a call, we can change that instantly. In fact, I challenge you right now. Make a change right now. Give me a call. Again, 281-558-5738. When we left out, we were talking about fear, false evidence appearing real, and we were talking about the fact that this fear is something you have to actually hold on to. You've got to hold this up. You know, anybody can give you fear. They can try to scare you. But once the fear has been abolished, then they've lost you. And people give you fear. And the reason you have fear is because people want you to have fear. Why? Because they can get you to do what they want you to do. People will do 10 times more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure. Let me give an example of what I mean. If I were to call you at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I just saw this guy grabbing your kid's $200 10-speed bike and walking it down the street, you would get up and you would run in your underwear to go get that guy and get that bike back. But if I called you at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, look, I have this opportunity for you if you'll just get up and come outside for you to win a free bike, you would hang up the phone. You would not take action at all. Because for the opportunity to have a gain, you'll do very little. For the ability to eliminate a painful situation and a loss, you'll do almost anything. So people realize very quickly when they're trying to motivate you to do something that fear is the easiest way to motivate you to become fearful. So the problem is, for these fears to work, you have to hold on to them. They give them to you, and you got to carry them around with you everywhere you go. It's like you got a backpack full of fear. You're carrying it around. What all do you fear? Oh, my gosh. Let me look at my backpack and tell you. I kind of think about it like this. I think fear is like a tabletop. For it to stand high, it has to have legs. There are things you have to have that give substance to this fear. Without that substance, fear would mean nothing. You could not have fear if there wasn't substance. And so you've got to carry that substance around, and you have to hold it up with legs that hold that fear up. So we're going to talk about the legs today. What do the different legs of fear look like, and where do you get them? The first, I believe, and I think it's probably one of the most painful to hear about, is education. Believe it or not, our society is educating you since you were a baby to be fearful of things. For example, think back to your earliest cognizant years and think about some of the things your parents told you. For example, you better be nice or Santa won't bring you anything. Wow, there it is. I'm in fear of Santa not bringing me something. Now, why do your parents say that? Why don't they just say, you better be nice? Or you better do the right thing. They don't put it in a positive like that. They don't say, hey, if you'd be nice and do the right thing, we'll give you an extra cookie. No. What they say is, if you don't be nice and do the right thing, then Santa won't come. Now, these are grown adults pre-programming a kid. They're manipulating this kid. And of course, that kid was us. Goes on later on down the line, you go to church, and all of a sudden at church they're telling you, ooh, if you sin, you're going to go to hell. And they talk about all these things about hell that's so scary, it's so unbelievable. And, you know, they just, for your whole life, you're afraid to do anything because you're going to go to hell. Everything you do that they don't want you to do, you're going to go to hell. And then later on in life, then you go to school and they say, don't do that in school, otherwise we're going to evict you, or you're going to have to go down to the principal's office. Wow, there's a fear. I remember wanting to go to the principal's office just to get out of the stupid classes. At least I could sit in a chair and fall asleep there. But that was the fear that they incited in you. We're going to call your parents. There's another fear. That's an interesting one, right? What about this? Why did we do this to our kids? Why did we let it be done to us? Well, obviously, we're not old enough yet to figure out that it's being done to us. But at this day and age, my friends, can't you see that you are being educated for fear? Things like diversification. You know, if you put all your eggs in one basket, you might get it tipped over and all your eggs will be broken. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What you need to do is put all your eggs in one basket and guard that basket with a Thompson machine gun. If anybody tries to come near it, kill them. That's what you need to do. You don't need to have egg here and egg there and egg everywhere to where you don't even know where they're at, to where anybody can come get them because you can't guard them all. That doesn't make any sense. Besides that, if you put your eggs in one basket, it makes 100% return, and then there's two or three other baskets that earn very much less than that, why would you want to take any of your eggs out of that basket? I mean, come on. Well, because I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid that I'll lose it all because I've been told that everything I do in life is eventually going to end in failure. You got to realize that, Del. You don't get that. You don't understand what the problem is, Del. I know I'm going to lose it, and I don't want to lose it all. So I'm afraid. I'm just going to diversify myself to where there's no way I can lose more than 10, 20% of it at any one time. Now I feel so much better. Oh, my gosh. Guys, what else do they program you to believe? It's unbelievable. I love this little deal on TV right now where the kid goes, Dad. This is a commercial. He goes, Dad, who's that man? He goes, he's our financial planner. Oh, yeah. Does he take care of our money? He goes, yes, he does. Do we pay him to do that, Dad? He goes, yes, we do. He goes, well, what happens if we don't like what he does? Does he have to give us the money back? He says, no. He said, well, are we sure he's doing the right thing for us? No. Then why do we do it? You see, the kid's smart enough to figure it out. Our educational systems. I'll give you one. When I was younger and married, had my daughter, my wife used to constantly try to tell my daughter, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, to where my daughter almost became to the point where she didn't even believe no meant no because everything was no. And so management by knowing around is what I'd call it. Just know around everything and tell them they can't do anything and hope that they end up just picking only the right things to do instead of being honest with them. So, you know, she would say things like to my daughter, don't play in the street, you'll get hit by a car. After a while, this became so annoying to me, and obviously I'm not married to this woman anymore, but it became so annoying to me that I would grab my daughter by the hand right after she said it, and I'd say, your mommy is having a moment of frustration with herself because she doesn't understand the world, she doesn't know how to explain it to you, so she's telling you to do the worst thing you could possibly do, which is to fear the street. Honey, come with me. And I'd take her out in the street and stand in the middle of the street, and I'd go, look, we're in the middle of the street. Nothing's happening to us. Now, honey, look. Cars have to come from one of two directions. They have to come from down there or they have to come from down there. They can't come from this side or that side. There's no way. You're not going to get hit by those sides. All you have to do when you're in the street is pay attention to that direction and that direction. Now, honey, the reason why this is important, because the only way you're ever going to get anywhere in life, the only way you'll ever get anywhere in life is to get in the street. If you're afraid of the street, honey, you'll never be able to have anything, do anything, or go anywhere. The street is your friend. See, risk is only risky if you don't know what you're looking for, if you don't know how to deal with the street. It's like learning to ride that bike on training wheels and then eventually having the guts to take the training wheels off. And eventually the father lets go in the back of the seat and you're riding by yourself. That's what should have been taught to your kids, should have been taught to you. And so when I take you down the road of real estate investing and I've got my hand on the back of your bike seat, or if we start you out with training wheels so you can get over your fear, and then I take those off and I'm standing there with you as you go down the road. When you start making 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100% returns, all of a sudden you understand that the only way you're going to get to those kinds of returns is by getting in my street. You've got to get in my street. You're not going to get those returns with your stockbroker, your financial planner, your 401k or your IRA. You've got to get into the street and take a little risk. But don't worry, because we've got the training wheels for you. We've got the education. We've got the information. We're standing there with you every inch of the way as you locate, evaluate, negotiate, contract, rehab, lease, and operate your real estate deals. That's what you need to overcome. The fear the education has given you. That's what is going to change your life. Our number here is 281-558-5738. If you've got a fearful story you'd like to share with us, give us a call. We'll take care of it right after the break.
Did you know that right now is the perfect time to be investing in real estate? One, prices are going up rapidly. 2, we have historically low interest rates that are giving us higher cash flow than ever before. 3, we have more people renting now than ever before. And 4, we have rents going up across the country at historically high rates. These 4 reasons combine to make now one of the best times we are going to see in our lifetime to buy real estate. Now is the time for you to take action. To learn how, attend one of our free introductory workshops on real estate investing. Call 866-945-6565 or go online to lifestylesunlimited.com and register for the next workshop in your area. That's 866-945-6565 or lifestylesunlimited.com. That's lifestylesunlimited.com.
Welcome back to Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Walmsley. Our number here is 281-558-5738. Today we're talking about fear and what is holding your fear up. In other words, why don't you just let go of it? And there are some reasons why you won't let go of it. I mean, first of all, we talked last segment about education and how devastating it is that people are trying to educate us to be fearful. This next leg of fear, next leg holding up the table of fear, is your past personal experiences. Now, all of us have had things in our life that have gone wrong. And they go wrong for a multitude of reasons, mostly because we weren't prepared for them. We didn't understand that they were happening to us when they were happening to us, or it was some other thing like that. So what happens is, in real estate anyway, for the fear to come about, we have these things that actually happen to us that scar us for life. A very common one, you know, very common event is for someone to end up with a house that they didn't really intend to turn into a rental house. But for whatever reason, because maybe the market was going sideways or going down, or maybe there is some desire to keep the house because of sentimental reasons of some kind. You know, maybe two people get married and they decide, well, let's keep my house because that was my parents' house. Let's turn one of them into a rental. Or maybe I'm fearful of the marriage or the relationship won't work. Maybe we're just going to try it out for a while and see if living together works. And if it doesn't, we'll go back to my old house. I'm going on and on and on. Maybe you inherit a house. But the bottom line is, somewhere along the way, you personally end up with something in your life that you have no idea how to deal with. And when these things come up, they scare you. They intimidate you. They make things happen in your life you don't want them to happen. And there's this universal effect, and then there's a localized effect. The universal effect says that, okay, every time something like this comes up in my life and it ends up being a disaster, I now fear disaster itself. I just fear that I can't do anything. Everything I do seems to turn into a mess and becomes problematic and painful. I call these people, and actually we have a name for them in our company. They're called the it can't be done, but if it could be, it'd cost $1 million people. Now, let me repeat that for you again. It is the it can't be done, but if it could, it would cost $1 million people, meaning that these people generically look at everything like it just can't be done. And by God, if it can be done, it's going to be so darn expensive to me in time, in trouble, in pain, in fear, in whatever, that it's not going to be worth doing. And so I'm just not going to do it. And then we'll make sure you don't do anything. Because I actually had to fire 3 people in my company last year because they were it can't be done. If it did, it cost $1 million people. They sabotaged my company by telling us that we couldn't do something that we actually could do. And that once they were gone, we found it very easy to do. But in their minds, it couldn't be done. And if it did, it would cost $1 million. So when you look at these situations, you go to the more specific situation, the rent house. You've got a rent house that you don't know how to deal with. You don't know how to rent to tenants. You don't know how to screen tenants. You don't know how to fix things, what to fix, what not to fix. You don't know what part of the lease to enforce. So there you are. You're in this situation where your own personal experiences are creating massive pain for you. And that tells you from that point in life that that pain is going to be there forever. It can't change. That's how you see it. I used to tell this story in my seminar where I'd say, look, here's a burner. Put your hand above the burner. What do you feel? And people go, I feel heat. And then I'd take, now, put the hand down on the burner. Now what do you feel? What are you feeling? And people go, pain, pain, pain. I go, no, you're not, because I didn't turn the burner on. See, you were so trained to believe that the burner is going to burn your hand that you didn't even bother to ask, was the burner on in the example? And that's the way most people are. They don't even bother to ask. But here's one that did bother to ask, and that is Andy. Andy, how can we help you today? Are you there, Andy?
Dale, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I hear you.
Okay, great. Dale, I just wanted to share some enthusiasm. I hear you talking about people's fear, and maybe my story from yesterday will dispel some fear. Can I tell you what happened about a rental property I own?
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and scare the heck out of people.
No, this shouldn't scare this. Hopefully this will enthuse me. I mean, it flabbergasted me. I joined your lifestyles about 6-7 years ago, and before I did, I bought a property in Dickinson. And I thought I was going to flip this house, and the numbers just didn't work to flip it, and I was not going to lose money on a real estate deal, so I held on to it. I've been renting it for $1,550. I had it on a 3-year lease with somebody. They skipped on me after 2 years last month. I turned around and rented it yesterday. I put it on the market, and in an hour, Dale, I had someone email me about it. They met me an hour later. Yesterday, they gave me $3,200 deposit, $1,795 rent, and they gave me $23,000 rent up front. They gave me a year's rent yesterday, along with a $3,200 deposit.
Wow. Wonderful day, huh?
It's unbelievable. I raised my rent $250, and I got 12 months rent up front.
So I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Did you send the guy that skipped a thank you card?
No, I've been too busy with other things. I kind of feel like, you know, that man is in his 40s, and, you know, I just kind of have an opinion about folks like that they just don't get it, and they're not going to get it, and they are in the situation that they're in for their own fault. And I can't waste my time and energy trying to deal with people like that. You know, just let it go. Go on. Life's too short, and I got too much ahead of me. I got too big of goals to waste on people like that can't honor a contract, that don't have any character. I'd rather deal with people that have character, and that's what I find in lifestyles, and that's what I want to do, and I want to show that to my son. And I'm just excited, you know. I'm really, really thrilled about this house. It's turned around. The market's turned around, and I'm getting, I guess I'm getting about 500 plus cash flow off this one house, and I got 25 houses now. And,
wow!
I'm just, you know, really excited.
That's amazing.
I hope that other people. Go ahead.
What's your total cash flow in that, Andy, with all those houses?
I guess realistically, because, you know, there's repairs and stuff that come along, but I guess realistically about $7,500 a month now.
Man, that's fantastic.
Net, you know, after everything's paid for and everything, about $7,500 a month, I guess.
Are you still working?
Yes, sir. I'm a chemical plant operator, and I really don't like it. But the problem is they subsidize my insurance real well. I have a son in private school, and when I'm looking to do a small apartment complex, and my hope is that once I get that small apartment complex, you know, under my belt here, maybe in the next 6 months, I'll be able to make that leap and live for me instead of living in a place that could potentially cause me cancer or may already have, I don't know. But enjoy life better, and instead of, you know, feeling like I'm working 12, 14, 16 hours a day and living for somebody else and doing what somebody else tells me to do instead of what Andy wants to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Andy, are you married?
No, sir. I was divorced about 12 years ago, and I've got 100% custody of my son, and I'm trying to focus on that and leaving something of value and tangible for him and teach him, you know, some things.
Yeah. You know, Andy, I think I know who you are. I can picture you right now. You're around, been around for a while. And it is a great story because having the ability to do what you've done as a single parent. Now, think about all the people out there that can't figure out how to do this even with two parents. But you've taken care of keeping a job, raising a child, and accumulating all that wealth. That's amazing. What do you think the net worth of all those houses is right now?
I did a what they call a PFS, professional financial statement, for a banker recently so that he could try and help me get money. I'm trying to pull equity out so I can do the small apartment deal. I need the cash for it. And then I think it was about $3.2 million.
Wow. Well, Andy, if you want to hang on and talk some more, you're welcome to, but we're going to have to go to a break now. Our number here, if anybody else wants to get in, is 281-558-5738. Andy, what a wonderful story. And for the rest of you, we'll be right back after a short break.
Did you know that right now is the perfect time to be investing in real estate? One, prices are going up rapidly. Two, we have historically low interest rates that are giving us higher cash flow than ever before. Three, we have more people renting now than ever before. And four, we have rents going up across the country at historically high rates. These four reasons combine to make now one of the best times we are going to see in our lifetime to buy real estate. Now is the time for you to take action. To learn how, attend one of our free introductory workshops on real estate investing. Call 866-945-6565 or go online to lifestylesunlimited.com and register for the next workshop in your area. That's 866-945-6565 or lifestylesunlimited.com. That's lifestylesunlimited.com.
Welcome back to Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and with us now on the line is Andy from Clear Lake. Andy is telling us a wonderful story, $7,500 a month in positive cash flow and $3.2 million in net assets from his real estate investing career. Andy, take us back to when you first started. What got you into real estate, and what fears did you have when you started?
Fear of, you know, renting to the wrong person or buying at the wrong price, you know, what you call in your seminar purple Martians, things like that, and just pessimism from people around who I'm pretty pure blue collar upbringing, and I've been in blue collar all my life, even though I've got a college degree. I've kind of been stuck in that category for about 30 years now, and just the people around just don't have the mindset of investing in real estate and the positive aspect of it. It's like everything that you hear is negative, negative. Oh yeah, I had a rental property. What if they just trashed me out? And that was, man, I lost my shirt. And you know, I don't want to do that. It's too much work. And I listen to this and I think, God, you know, yeah, it's work, but what isn't work? Are you going to work all your life and die here working in the plant? You know, and I see it happening. And then people just keep doing it and thinking, you know, I heard you say earlier, the definition of insanity, I think you said, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something to happen. Well,
exactly.
You know, my philosophy was kind of like, yeah, there's scares, there's fears, but you know, what isn't fear? There's fear of marriage. There's fear of having children. There's fear of driving a car. There's fear of going out in the street and getting hit, you know, but you got to get out there and do it. And, the more I do it, the more my fears are dispelled. And like yesterday, 1 hour on the internet, $90 flat fee listing fee, and I'm getting a $3,200 deposit and $23,000 rent check. I could never imagine somebody giving me $23,000 rent check. You know?
That's hilarious.
Now my fear now is where am I going to put that money so I don't spend it before the 12 months are up, you know, because they got a mortgage to cover. But still, that's unbelievable. So the more time goes on, the less fear I have.
So now you're thinking about going into multifamily. Do you got any fears there?
Well, of course I do. Anytime you do something for the first time, there's going to be apprehensions. My fear is kind of like buying at the right price, but that's where I'm hoping that the lifestyle, you know, having the brokers there and being in tune with the market and going on the road trips like they're having one Friday, planning on going to, is maybe going to dispel that and let me do my due diligence, you know, go in there. And like this house I'm telling you about that I bought it before I joined Lifestyles. I had a real estate agent whose only objective was to sell me a house and make a commission. But now I'm in a position where I have enough people in myself and experience to get feedback on to say, did you check this? Did we check this? I've got all this list of stuff to look at and 30 days or 45 days to go over it so that I'll know I'm not, you know, getting ahead of the game here. I'm not buying an asset that's not worth what I'm paying for it, which I did before I joined Lifestyle 6 years ago on this property. I thought I was going to flip, and by the time I finally got closed, fixed up, and ready to sell, guess what? The market had turned $6 a foot, and now it's not worth what I paid for it. I mean, now I can't get my money back out of it. But even that, Dale, on a positive note, now it's worth $30,000 more than what I've got in it, and I'm making $550 a month off of it. So,
you know, Andy,
you know,
they say, Andy, that real estate is a very forgiving business. In other words, a lot of people out there make mistakes, don't have the education when they start, and yet they still come out of it okay. It sounds like you did pretty well in that one. Now that you're doing, you know, going to multifamily, you say you're going to go on a road trip. Have you been on road trips before?
Yes, sir. Yes, I have.
And what did you think about that? I always like to ask people what they thought about the two-day and what they thought about the road trips, because the road trip to me is like the most interesting thing we do at Lifestyles.
The ones I've been on before, I thought it kind of amazing that people from all different walks of life and positions and financial positions, you know, because I've been on road trips where there's been guys there that left corporate America and executive type jobs that had lots of money and they brought a lot of money to the table with them. And then I've been on road trips where a guy who's not much better off financially than me that might have been through a divorce or is, you know, not making, you know, six figures, and goes out and he buys a small apartment complex and makes 100% return. And that's what's kind of amazing to me. And what I thought pretty neat about the road trips is you get to see and you get a hands-on feel of, well, this is the property. This is the brick and mortar. This is the bones of the property. And, you know, it helps dispel some of the fears. Because you think, you know, I don't know if I can do this. Well, you got 40 other people in on this road trip today that didn't think they could do it either, or they're having the same fear. So, you know, when you're in a group of people, I kind of equate it to like going to church. Yeah, you can turn on the TV and watch Joel Osteen at Sunday morning, but it's a lot better if you're in a group of people and you're in a setting with tens or hundreds or thousands of people, and you get that camaraderie and that support system. And that's what's a big deal to me also about the road trip and being around the case studies and all that, is the camaraderie and the support and people encouraging you instead of the people that you work with or you family members that say, you know, are you sure you want to do that? Yeah, I've heard that before. Man, don't you ever get – I had a friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine, Dale. He told me the other day, man, Ant, I was telling him a story about one of my rent houses, and I was having to fill in a swimming pool and all that. Well, this is exciting to me. And, man, don't you get tired of that? Like, well, Maybe sometimes, but I get tired of coming out here every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning or working holidays. You know? So
yeah.
You know,
well, Andy, yeah. I appreciate you calling in, man. Your story is really enlightening to many people. I'd like to do two things, though. One, would you send me your telephone number that I can call you right back on after this last break of the show here?
Sure.
I've got something I want to share with you.
And
okay. Send that to AskDell@LUINC.com.